Hey, welcome to Second Baptist Church. Happy Easter. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're grateful that you've chosen to worship with us. Hey, this morning, we're asking everyone who is attending our services today, would you fill out a Connect card, a guest card? There's some in the pew back in front of you, or you can go to our website, sbcr.org. You can select I'm new and fill that information out. Yeah, we're asking everybody, whether you're a guest or a longtime member, if you wouldn't mind to take just a moment, fill one of those cards out or do it online, and that'll give us a chance to know who's worshiping with us this morning and also to update our records for those who have been around a while. Hey, last Wednesday night, we kicked off our second Kids Wednesday Night Ministry. We'll have that again this Wednesday. Meal begins at 5:30. Service begins at 6. It's a lot of fun, a lot of activity for the children, so I hope that you'll make plans to be with us this coming Wednesday night. Also, every Sunday morning during our main worship time, we have Children's Church, with the exception of the first Sunday of every month. That day we call Family Day, so we have the entire family worshiping with us on the first Sunday of every month, like this morning, and every other Sunday we offer Children's Church for pre-K all the way up to fourth grade. Also, nursery is available for all of our services. Next Sunday, our Sunday school is expanding. Some of our classes are opening back up. You may have heard from some of the teachers and inviting you to that. We hope that you make plans. We have a class for every age, from the bed babies all the way up to the older adults. We would love for you to join us next Sunday as we relaunch and expand our Sunday school time. Also, next Sunday, immediately following the service, is Lunch with the Pastor. Hopefully you've had a chance to watch those videos if you're looking forward to joining us and being a part of your second family and joining our family. That's what the Lunch with the Pastor is for. You'd have lunch with me and my wife, Daydrian, and our staff, and take that step to join our church. Hey, make plans to be with us and let us know if you plan to be a part of that. We want to connect you. We want to help you take those steps to become a member of Second Baptist Church. April 24th, we're going to have an incredible local missions opportunity. We're going to be doing some local mission work around our city. One of the activities we're going to do is to have a no-sale yard sale. Now, we're going to need your help, your donations with that, as far as things laying around the house and things that are in great condition, but will be a blessing to others, be it clothes and all sorts of items. If you're interested in being a part of that, reach out to our Pastor of Missions and Students, Pastor Jonathan. Connect with him. Let him know if you've got something that you can donate to help with that. Also, we're going to need a lot of workers. So let him know if you can plan to be a part of that day. Hey, I want to mention to you, no evening activities tonight, no services. Enjoy the worship this morning. Enjoy time with your family this afternoon. Hey, I'm always excited and looking forward as we gather together for worship. But this morning is special because we get to begin our time listening to testimony of two believers, how they have chosen to follow Christ and looking forward to joining our family. And this morning they are taking the step to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Hey, good morning again. Welcome to Second Baptist Church, and thank you for joining us for Easter. We're so glad that you are here. I am excited we get to begin our service here from the baptistry, and looking forward to that. I'll share a little bit more about that. I do want to make you aware of a couple things. Parents, we do have some color sheets there in the back for you, and so if you've got your little ones with you today, and we've got color sheets and colors, so feel free to, in just a moment or whenever, to slip out, grab one of those if you didn't get that on the way in. Also, in the middle of our worship, we will be taking the Lord's Supper. And so we kind of have the little all-in-one pack cups for that. If you didn't get one on the way in the next few minutes, you may slide out, grab that so that you can partake in that with us, okay? Well, I'm looking forward to this time. So, Emmeline, are you ready? All right, come on, sweetie. Good job. Good job. All right. Well, I don't know if you can see her. Hopefully you can. There you go. This is Emmeline Storm, and her family have been worshiping with us for a little while now, and Dad Jason and Mom Melissa and Porter, and just so grateful they've been a part. And so back at the end of summer, early fall, Emmeline just been dealing with salvation and what that means and what it means for her. And one night at home there, she communicates she was ready to trust Jesus and be saved. And so there with her family, but on her own, she reached out and she prayed and simply in a childlike time of prayer asked Jesus to save her and be the boss of her life. And so she's come today wanting to be baptized. So Emily, it's my understanding that you've asked Jesus to save you and be the boss of your life. Is that right? Amen. You can turn around right here. Just have a seat. There you go. All right. It's upon that profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're buried with him through baptism into death and raised to walk in newness of life. This is Mom Melissa, and she's come today, and there was a time in her life that she trusted Christ, and so she has come just looking to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and take this next step of obedience. And so, Melissa, it's my understanding that you've asked Jesus to save you and be the boss of your life. Yes. Is that right? Amen. Well, it's upon that profession of faith, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him through baptism into death and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Folks, I don't need to tell you, hopefully this morning, how important this step is. This is our first step of obedience as believers, that we take this step. There's nothing about this that brings about salvation, but it is crucial in our walk, in our growth, in becoming follower or taking that step and following Christ with all that we are and all that we believe. And so excited this morning that we have this testimony that we are water baptized. There's this picture of on Friday when they buried Jesus. And then we come up out of the water because we are raised to walk in the newness of life because there is an empty grave. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Let's pray, and then we're going to continue our time of worship. God, you are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to worship together. And God in heaven, we pray that in all things you would be glorified. Thank you that we get the chance to gather today and worship you, God, that God, there is an empty tomb and that we celebrate a risen Savior. And Lord, I pray in this time together that we would honor you, that God, you would be glorified. And we pray and ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand as we sing, He Lives?
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He the law and prophets to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father. Praise the
seated. Thank you. We have gathered this morning on this special day, and we are looking forward to this time of worship. And one of the things that we always look forward to on Easter Sunday is taking of the Lord's Supper. And so let me just talk to you briefly. We believe that the Lord's Supper is reserved for those who have first placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. That He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only means of salvation. And then for an individual who has trusted Christ, and then, as we've seen this morning, taking that first step of obedience, that very important, crucial step of following the Lord in believer's baptism. And then we believe that you ought to be a member of a local body of believers. Now, not necessarily this morning. Doesn't mean you have to be a member of Second Baptist Church to take of the Lord's Supper. But you ought to be a member of a church of like faith and orders, how we put it, that believes all the Bible, that preaches the true gospel, that you're a member of that church. And so that's who we believe that the Bible teaches, that as they gather together and observe this, that's who is to observe the Lord's Supper. And parents, I want to encourage you, and maybe that your children have not yet taken that step. And this is an excellent time, even later today, have that conversation of why this is reserved for some and honestly some not for others who have not taken that step, and to talk to them about what this means and what it symbolizes. And so this morning we are going to observe the Lord's Supper, and so I'll invite you, if you have your cup, it's kind of the all-in-one sort of variety pack here. But if you'll go ahead, peel the top off. That's where the tasty wafer is, if you will. And then the next one is the juice underneath, the juice that we'll be partaking in. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the Lord to bless as we take this. I'll read a couple verses of Scripture, and then we will partake of the Lord's Supper and then continue our time of worship, okay? Let me pray for us this morning and ask God's hand a blessing on the bread and the cup. Jesus, we thank You. We recognize that this has been, God, a time that we get together and we remember, Lord Jesus, that although we celebrate Sunday as the day of resurrection because You got up early Sunday morning, but we recognize the power in that is because the sacrifice on Friday. And at the cross that You gave Yourself. And so as we partake of this morning, I pray it would remind us of Your sacrifice on the cross for our sins, that we might have justification, we might have salvation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will take your bread out, Jesus said, "This is My body, which is broken for you." In the same way, He took this, and so He says, "This is My body, which is broken for you. Take and eat." And then if you'll peel back the next layer so that you're able to drink the juice. He goes on, He says, "In the same way, He also took the cup after supper and said, 'This is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" Jesus said, "Drink you all of it." Father God, we love and adore You. We thank You for, again, Your sacrifice. Thank You for the cross and for salvation. But Lord Jesus, thank You that we have gathered today not to serve, not to worship a dead God, but a risen Savior. And I pray, God, that today we would see the hope and the victory that we have in You. Thank You, Jesus, for Your sacrifice. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Beck and I would like to share with you a song this morning. It's a newer song called "Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood Applied." The words are going to be on the screen this morning. We invite you to focus on these as and use this as an opportunity to prepare your hearts even more for the message that Pastor Chris has for us today about a risen Savior. I'll ask your forgiveness up front. We're having a few technical difficulties this morning, and so our prompter screen in the back is not working, and so we're going to use other technology this morning. So I'm just going to encourage you to look at the screen and not us, because that's what you need to be doing anyway, correct? Focusing on the words. And let me invite you to do this. You want to sing along? Please join us as we sing, "Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood Applied."
Was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, You held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. Now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. It has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the working power of the blood, the blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. It has.
If you have your Bible, would you turn to the Gospel of Luke? Yes, I know I've been leading us through to study Hebrews the last several weeks, and we're going to continue on that, Lord willing, next Sunday. We will pick back up and continue that time, and so just look forward to that. I hope you'll join us next week, and we have asked, if you will, everyone who's here in attendance, if you will, if you'll fill out a information card just to let us know who's worshiping with us. We've asked that of everybody, whether you're brand new today or you've been coming for many years. It'll just help us know who's worshiping us, update some information. We're grateful for that. And if you are a guest, I hope on your way in you received a guest bag, a first-time guest bag, and just a gift that's there. So just know that if you did not, we want to make sure you get that before you leave today. Well, if you have your Bible, Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, beginning in verse 1. And just let me share with you that it's already been a fun morning, okay? I know that just Pastor Jonathan mentioned just some of the technical difficulties and all that sort of thing. I showed up early this morning to make sure we were good with our baptistry and that sort of thing. And I walked up there and we had installed a seat in there. It makes anybody just so much easier. And so we put that in, and I walked up there, make sure everything was good this morning, water, heater, all that sort of deal. And I don't know if you know anything about seats or baptistry, but the seat was floating. And that will not make baptizing anyone easier, okay? A moving target, all that sort of thing. So we had a lot of fun with that. Technology has fought us this morning, all that sort of thing. But here's what I know, is that Jesus is alive today. And the enemy is ticked off because he knows he is a defeated foe. Any hope that he had a victory got up out of the grave. And he walked out. And there's a borrowed tomb and there's an empty grave somewhere. And we're going to talk about that this morning. And so I'm excited to share with you from the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 1. And if you will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bound to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? Saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day.' And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen clothes. So he went away amazed at what had happened. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word. I pray you would bless the preaching of your word. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. God, I pray you be glorified, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning I want to preach to you a message that I've titled Risen. Risen. And we're going to look at this text and we're going to focus in on a few ideas. But if you're following along or you want to take notes this morning, the main idea of the text this morning is that Jesus is the risen Savior. He is not a dead God. He is not some good prophet, as some other religions will tell you, or a good person simply, but rather He is the risen Savior of the world. And so the question I have for you this morning that I believe our text allows for is, are you going to live as though Jesus is alive? See, I really believe that sometimes we get caught in a rut, we get caught in a trap where we get in this sort of Christianity mode of maybe attending church and doing Christian sort of things, and it really just is a rut for us, that it really doesn't impact our everyday life. That even as we go to the grocery store, even as we go about our work life, even as we give and look what we invest in, we don't live as though Jesus really is alive. And so I simply ask you this morning, as we walk through this, would you ask yourself, do I live? Do I live today? Do I live every day as though Jesus is alive? And there are two main ideas, or two key points I want to hang our hat on this morning, if you will. And so number one from our text, He is not here. He is not here. And there are four subtleties to this that then we want to look at. So A, not here. He is not here for embalming. He is not here for embalming. Look at verse 1, chapter 24. On the first day of the week. Now, let me hit pause for just a moment. As you read through the rest of the Bible, you understand that Jesus is God come in the flesh. He always has been, always will be. That Jesus didn't suddenly show up in the New Testament, but rather we see Him shown up in human form. He puts on human flesh, being fully God yet fully man. There's all kinds of illustrations to help try to demonstrate that, but to be honest with you, they all fall short. Because it is one of those God things that we just can't fully wrap our mind around, but it's clearly what the Bible teaches. And so Jesus came fully God, yet fully man. He lived a sinless, perfect life for roughly 33 years. And then He comes into the Holy Week, as you may have seen things about. And He comes into Jerusalem and He is preparing. He is coming to the cross to sacrifice Himself. And that's why a couple days ago we talk about Good Friday. And it's hard to imagine to think about celebrating someone's death as a day that is good. But in the understanding of what the Bible teaches us, this is the ultimate good day because of what Jesus did for you and for me. Because He lived a sinless, perfect life. He went to the cross so that He could take your place. It is the substitutionary atonement. That He saw you as a guilty man, a guilty woman. He took your place on the cross and He died a sinner's death on your behalf, taking on the full wrath of God. And then they buried Him in a borrowed tomb. Because after all, just like all the other people who have been crucified, all the other criminals, He died. And He was buried. And Friday was a dark day. All of creation got dark. Saturday was quiet. But then we get to our text that says on the first day of the week, that is on Sunday, very early in the morning. Hey, by the way, if you read other accounts, it says while it was still dark.
Hey, I don't have time to preach this, but you need to hear it this morning, okay? They came while it was still dark. They didn't know. They were coming. They were going. Now, they were going for different reasons, but I don't know why you showed up this morning, but it may be some dark days in your life that you came looking for one thing, and my hope and prayer is that you leave with something totally different, and that is as a new boss, a new king, a new master of your life. And so the Scripture says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, look, bringing the spices they had prepared. What were they coming to do? They were coming to embalm a body. Because Jesus died right before the Passover, they went and they were going to kill him quicker because the law would not allow for a criminal to hang overnight. And so he had to die. They had to get him off so they could observe the Passover. But as they went to Jesus, he had already died and sacrificed himself. So they quickly take him off the cross and they prepare his body a little bit, shove him in the tomb so that the Passover can take place and they can observe that. And now they realize they've rushed through that and these women have come because they go, man, you know, Jesus, if he wasn't anything else, he was good. He was a good prophet. He did a lot of good things. And now we've got to go take care of him. But listen, the angels declare, say, he is not here because there's no need to embalm him. Luke 23:56 says, then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. They had taken careful preparations to go and embalm him, but it was not necessary. He is not here. B, he is not here for memorialization. He is not here to be memorialized, is what we learn from this. In Luke 24:1-3, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and look, they went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, I often think about this in terms of the history of the Israelites, histories of the Jews. If you remember way back when, that as God was raising up his nation, he began with Jacob, who would later be called Israel. That's why they're the Israelites, and his sons. And you remember particularly a young son named Joseph that God had spoken to and said, hey, you're going to be a leader. You're going to be extremely significant among the nation. And he, matter of fact, he was kind of proud of it a little bit, and he told his brothers about it, and they didn't like him. And then he had another dream, and he told his brothers and his mom and dad about it. And they weren't real fired up either. And they sell him. The brothers were going to kill him, but they sell him into slavery. He goes into Egypt, and through a series of events, God raises him up as the number two in command in all of Egypt. And lo and behold, his dad and his brothers are in severe famine. They have to come to him, ask for help, and to fast forward through the story, they come to him for help. They establish them. He says, bring the whole family. God's found favor here, and you'll be able to survive, and all of our family be there. And that's exactly what God does, and God blesses, and God moves, and multiplies them. And then Joseph dies. But there was a promise that was made that whenever God would one day, 400 plus years later, lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, there was a promise, a vow that was made that Joseph's bones would not be left in Egypt. And then we look in Exodus 13:19, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear a solemn oath saying, God will certainly come to your aid, then you must take my bones with you from this place. There are a few characters throughout the Bible where the bones mean so much that they gather them up and they carry them with them. And had Jesus been another prophet, had Jesus been another great leader among the children of Israel, they would have made sure that his bones were well taken care of, that his body was taken care of, that his bones, that there had been a great memorialization, memorializing what Jesus had done. But listen, dear friends, they came in and they looked in the tomb and it was empty because Jesus did not die to be memorialized, to gather up his bones, to just go, man, here was a great prophet. Here was a great leader. Here was a great man. He is also, he is not here. He is not here to sit on your mantle. Again, verse 3, they went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. There's no body, and by the way, if you get the chance to travel to the Holy Land, to travel to Israel, and you get to go on a Holy Land tour, you take you all kinds of places, and they have to take you to an area where, quote, they believe Jesus could have been buried. Now, dear friends, with all that we have, the account of Jesus and all that Jesus did, had Jesus accomplished all that he said he did, except for he did not rise from the grave, he buried in that tomb, there is without a doubt 100% they would know where that tomb is. Because it would have been memorialized, and I'm sure we would have all had all sorts of figurines, all sorts of things to set up on our mantle so that we could look to that as if it has some power, some authority, but it does not. But rather, we look at crosses that do not have a body on it, and we don't have tombs that sit on our shelf as though we worship a dead God that sits on our mantle. But rather, the angel declared, he has died, but he is not here. And so, we don't have a God to sit on our mantle. Paul addresses this false God with Acts 17, 22 through 24. Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that you're extremely religious in every aspect. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found an altar on which was inscribed, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the worlds and everything in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in shrines made with hands." You can't create something and set it on your mantle and expect the presence of God or expect God to be there because he is not here. Also, he is not found. He is not here, D, in grave clothes. Listen to our text. We skip down a few verses toward the end of Luke chapter 24 and verse 12. Peter, however, the women had come. They looked, couldn't find the body. They had this encounter we're going to talk more about. They get up and you know, there's all these different accounts, but it seems like they run to go get Peter. And Peter comes back. And Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw the linen clothes, so he went away amazed at what had happened. We have other accounts in this in John chapter 19, and here's where they put the clothes on Jesus. John 19, verse 40. They took Jesus' body and wrapped it in linen clothes, which was customary, with the fragrant spices according to the burial custom of the Jews. And then in John chapter 20, verse 5 through 7, stooping down, talking about Peter again, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there. And then notice this, the wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen clothes, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. So if you remember the story, Jesus is sacrificed. He dies on the cross. They wrap him up. They bury him in a borrowed tomb. And then there's some that want to put guards there. They're worried about the disciples coming and stealing the body away and all sorts of things happening. And so they put guards there, worried about that. And so here it is that Peter shows up and everybody shows up and they look and then they go in, they realize that where the body was laid, there was the linen clothes and then there was this wrap that went around the face, this face cloth that was folded and laid where his head would have been. Listen, it is a picture, it is a reminder, it's a testimony that somebody didn't come steal the body of Jesus. Because nobody who would have come and stolen the body of Jesus would have unwrapped him after being a couple days dead, would have unwrapped him, put it there, taken the face cloth and placed it nicely there. There's all kinds of things. Sometimes on social media you'll see things about what the folding of the cloth means and all that sort of thing. We really don't know too much, but it is a testimony to know this, that nobody stole the body of Jesus, but rather he got up. And so his grave clothes are left there as a testimony. And then the second part of today's message. Number two, he is risen. He is alive. And we've talked about it in the negative. We've talked about it in looking at what he is not. Not memorialized, not in his grave clothes, all those sorts of things. But then in the positive, the affirmative of what we learn from this, what we know from this. A, he is risen by heaven's account. By heaven's testimony, he is alive. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 5 and 6. And this is what, for me, began this preparation for this particular sermon. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee." They declare, they have gone, they've made their preparations, they're expecting to go. They're wondering how the tomb's going to get over, how the stone's going to be rolled back away so they can properly take care of someone they love, someone they deeply care about. And as they get there, the stone has been rolled away. And there they go in, and the body is not there. Yet here's two men that suddenly appear. And there they are. They're peering in. They're looking in. And I love this question that the men give them, saying, "Look, why are you looking for the living among the dead?" And the angels declare, "He is not here, but he is risen." Can you imagine just for a moment? I want to be careful here, but let your imagine step into heaven for just a moment. All of God's angels gathered around the throne. Some are worshiping, some are going back and forth. Those saints of old who have gone on that are there in the presence of God. Here they are. They've got a front row seat to the life and ministry of Jesus and how he has lived a perfect life. And they know that he's fully God. And here they are. They're watching this. And here he is. He sacrifices himself on a cross and he is doornail dead. Are you in heaven watching this? And they bury him. And Friday night goes by. Nothing. And Saturday, and in the process of this, exactly when it happens or when it takes place, I want you to place yourself in heaven's worship. Here they are. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then at a moment, Jesus steps in on the scene because he has business to do. He is coming, what the scripture says, into the holy of holies, into the presence of God, the sacrifice himself. Can you imagine for a moment what heaven's scene is like? Because I believe that there are angels there that have fallen down. There are angels standing at attention. There are angels saluting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because heaven is declaring that Jesus is alive. Now wait, hold on. Don't get too excited because can you imagine what I know this may not be heavenly, what the fight was like because now somebody gets to go back and wait on the women to come. Can I go? Can it be me? And God sends two of his choicest angels, and I bet they got there early. They sitting and waiting. And there they are in all their brightness, you know, just dressed. Because when you go and make an announcement, an important announcement like this, you get dressed up in your finest. And there they are, and the women show up, and they show up, and they say, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen." And heaven declares, testifies that Jesus is alive. And now listen to what Revelation chapter 1, as John falls on his face, he says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man," talking about Jesus. "He laid his right hand on me and said, 'Don't be afraid. Listen, I am the first and the last.'" Listen to what he says. "And the living one. I was dead, but look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Remember, when he got up, he didn't have to go to hell to get some keys, but rather when he got up, he snatched the keys from death and said, any power that you had, any power you thought you had, is over. That's why when Christians pass away and we gather around and we mourn and we grieve, but we stand and say, this is a day of celebration, because when they took their last breath, Jesus is standing there shaking the keys going, you've got no fear. I'm going to hurt myself up here. He is risen. He's risen by heaven's account. But secondly, he is risen according to his word. According to his word. Listen to 6 and 7 again. The angel declares, he is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. He is recalling this, saying, and now they are quoting him, it is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and listen, rise on the third day. For us, looking back, the old phrase, hindsight is 20/20. We get the privilege to look back and go, man, how did the disciples miss it? He absolutely prophesied exactly to the T what would happen. And this is what the angels proclaimed to him, saying, he's not here, he is risen, and don't you remember? And he points to the Word of God. And dear friend, time and time again throughout Scripture, Jesus prophesied, and all of Scripture prophesied, that the Messiah would come and sacrifice himself, and he would rise from the dead. Jesus does it in Luke 11, 29 and 30. As the crowds were increasing, he began to say, this generation is an evil generation. It demands a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. How is he prophesying that? If you remember, Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days. And then God raises him essentially from the dead. And that's what he's telling the children of Israel, saying, it will seem like the Son of Man is dead, but on the third day he will rise from the grave. We see this also in Luke 18, 31 through 33, Matthew 20, 17 through 19, Mark 10, 32 through 34, just to name a few of Jesus saying that he would get up from the grave. And so heaven's testimony declares that Jesus is alive. The Word of God prophesied, Jesus said himself that he would get up from the grave. And that's exactly what the Word of God claims. And by the way, if this isn't true, whoever thought all this up was absolutely ludicrous. Because no one would conceive a false religion that claims somebody got up from the dead and is alive forever. But rather the witnesses throughout eternity. You read 1 Corinthians 15, he appeared to not only his disciples but to over 500. And we read this Bible and you have all these disciples that have a cohesive, well put together because it's truth, story of what happened. Then you read the book as a whole, 66 books, 40 different authors, over a couple of thousand years that all point to a Messiah coming, that he would die on a cross for you and for me. He would be buried and he would get up from the grave. To put all of that together, to get it to say the same thing is absolutely mind-boggling. But rather, we gather together because we know the book is true. We know that heaven has declared, and now, church, we gather together to declare that Jesus is alive. And now the why. He has risen to mankind's life. To mankind's life. Listen to Luke chapter 24 and verse 12. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen clothes. So he went away and noticed this, amazed at what had happened. Amazed at what had happened. Now remember, Peter, It's only been a couple days since Peter was looming in the background of Jesus' arrest and his trial. That to little servant girls, he wouldn't acknowledge that he was a follower of Jesus. He's hanging in the background. Jesus prophesied, told him, said, Peter, you'll deny me three times. Peter said, absolutely not. But that's exactly what Jesus does. Peter stands in the shadows watching this leader of his, this prophet of his, get crucified. And there he is with his disciple, with the other disciples, and Mary and these other women barge in and say, you've got to come quickly. The body of Jesus is not in the tomb. The stone is rolled away. And he and John run to the tomb. We don't have that account here, but they run to the tomb and they look in. And he walks away, and I believe at that moment that Peter realizes the power of what just happened. And by the way, if you keep reading the book, in just a few short weeks, God would use Peter in ways that maybe no other person throughout him, Paul, God used him in ways you never dreamed of, never imagined. Why did he do it? Listen to me. Lean in real closely this morning. He did it so that you and I could have salvation. That's why Jesus is alive today. Because had he died on the cross and he's still buried in a tomb, then we have a sacrifice, but there's no power over death. There's no power over the sting of death, and you and I are without hope. So Good Friday is only Good Friday because there's an empty tomb on Sunday. Good Friday is only good because of Easter. Christmas is only precious and sweet and incredible and in miraculous work because of Easter. All of our gospel, all of our belief, all of heaven's account, and the Word of God hangs on an empty tomb. Acts 17, 24 through 27, Paul again talks about the God who made the world and everything in it. He is Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in shrines made with hands. Remember, he's not here to be memorialized. He's not here to set on our mantle. But notice this. Neither is he served by human's hands as though he needed anything. God doesn't need me. He doesn't need you, but we desperately need him. Does he need anything since he himself gives everyone life and breath in all things? If you're here this morning and still breathing, and it appears most of you are, you're here because God gave you breath in your lungs this morning. Because God woke you up. God gave you the grace to be here. But he continues on. From one man he has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. The scripture, the New King James says, the before appointed the bounds of their habitation. God knows the day you were born and God knows the day you will draw your last breath. He has those end points, he has given you every breath in between. Why? He answers in verse 27. He did this so that they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. God gave you a birth date and there will be a death date, and every breath in between he has given you for a purpose, and the primary purpose is so that you'll reach out and find Jesus. That's why there was a baby. That's why there was a perfect Savior. That's why there's a Good Friday where Jesus sacrifices himself on the cross. And dear friend, that's why there is Easter and we get up today and we celebrate this day, because he has done it so that you may find him. And so, dear friend, I need to ask you this morning, have you found Jesus? You maybe have come here, we started this way this morning, you maybe come here expecting one thing, thinking one thing, going, I just need to go check a box because it's Easter and I need to be here. Maybe you're here because somebody put a a door hanger on your door, or sent you a card, or whatever reason brought you here. Number one, have you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus? The Bible says this, says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Every one of us in here, all have a sin problem. The Bible goes on in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Because of that sin, we have earned hell. We have earned punishment. But it goes on, says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As you've come in this morning looking for one thing, the very Son of God is offering Himself to you, saying, this is the free gift. This salvation is extended to you. And then how do we receive that? Romans 10:9, 10, and 13 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The requirement for you to be saved this morning is simple. Do you believe that Jesus came, lived a sinless, perfect life, died on the cross for me and for you, and He raised and He has ascended and He's seated at the right-hand throne of God? Do you believe that more than anything, you need His salvation? And do you believe that if you call out on Him and trust Him for salvation, that God will answer that? If you can answer those three things, I believe that all that the Bible says about Jesus, I believe that I want to be saved, I believe God will save me. The Bible says you can call out right now and He will save you. Now listen to me, it's not the magic of some words. There's not some fancy formula that says you pray these specific words and God will save you. But the Bible says man look upon the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. If your greatest desire this morning is I need that Savior, I need that salvation, you pray and ask God right where you're at, forgive me of my sin, be the boss of my life, I give everything to you, save me, Lord Jesus. And the Word of God says He will save you. Right where you're at. The second part of the invitation is you living today and tomorrow and the next day as if Jesus is alive. Some of you say, I already have that settled, preacher. I've trusted Christ for salvation. Hallelujah, praise God. But there's not an empty tomb just so that you and I can have fire insurance. So we can do and live just however we want to. But rather, we serve a risen Savior who deserves our undying sacrifice to live for Him in the way that He wants us to. And so here's what we're going to do this morning. In just a moment, not yet, we're going to have a time where we bow our head and close our eyes. I'll lead you in what we call the sinner's prayer. But understand this, words of a prayer have never saved anybody, but it's the attitude of your heart. The Bible says if you'll call out on Him and ask Him for salvation, the Bible says God will save you. And that's step number one. And then secondly, after that, we're going to have a time just allow you to come and pray if that's what you would like to do. But if you'll bow your head and close your eyes, and if you need to trust Jesus for salvation, just pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I give everything to you. Pray in Jesus' name. God, I pray in this moment, those that have prayed and asked you to save them, God, I pray they would respond to the invitation. I pray those that God just struggling with how they're living, that God, you would work and stir in their heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Now, you remain in the attitude of prayer. We're going to continue to play softly, but here's what I would challenge you. If God dealing with your heart and you just want to come pray, you want to come kneel at this altar, you take time and do that. If God dealt with your heart and you trusted Jesus for salvation, would you come? Say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that this morning. I asked Jesus to save me. God, I pray in this moment that we would respond to you. Pray in Jesus' name. God dealt with your heart this morning. You come. You need to pray for somebody next to you. You pray for them.
Praise.
Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. I do want to mention a couple things to you. Again, we are asking you to fill out that information. And let me just say, if you prayed and asked Jesus to save you and be the boss of your life, I want to celebrate that with you. I want to walk alongside you, try to be an encouragement to you. On those cards, there's a place that you can mark that, or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, click I'm new, fill that information out, and there's a place that you can select that, and I get those emails as well. I'll also be out front. Just outside, and we'd love to meet you. If you're a first-time guest, thank you so much. Remember, we have a gift for you. If you haven't got that, come see me. We'll make sure you have that. Also, on the way out, as you leave on our left-hand side, excuse me for pointing, but on this side, there's a banner you may have noticed as you came in. That's a chance for you to have your picture taken, okay? Maybe some of our college students may slide out there, be willing to be take your phone. We don't have a camera dedicated for that, but you take the phone. I'm sure somebody, ask them, I'm sure somebody would be willing to take a picture for you. And then use that, post it, use the hashtag SBCR Easter, okay? SBCR Easter, and post that so we can see those online, okay? Last thing we're going to do, we're going to pray, and what we're going to do, we're going to ask God to bless our time of offering. As you leave today, there are some men at the back that give you a chance if you would like to give your tithes and offerings. You can do that as you leave today. Again, thank you so much for joining. Thank you for being a part, and hope to see you back soon, okay? All right, let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for today. God, thank you for the opportunity to worship you today. Thank you for the risen Savior that you are. And I pray that we would give in a way that honors you. And God, I pray for all those that have trusted Christ today. God, you give them boldness to share that decision and to live for you. Help us to go and be a witness for you. And thank you for all you do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.